and welcome to Torah Bites. This is Alan Gilman with Torah Bites for the week of November the 30th, 2024, the 20th of Heshvan, 5785. The following is a revised version of an article I wrote some time ago that's most relevant to this week's Torah reading. This week's message is entitled, The Jewish Advantage, and I'm reading from Bereishit, Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, If it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, the older shall serve the younger. In the classic film Fiddler on the Roof, based on the stories of famed Yiddish writer Shalom Aleichem, the main character, Tevye the milkman, upon hearing from the local constable of an upcoming pogrom in their small Russian village, complains to God. Let's hear what he says in that scene.
Dear God, did you have to send me news like that today of all days? I know we are the chosen people. But once in a while, can't you choose someone else?
This vividly expresses typical Jewish angst over what amounts to be the biblical and theological concept of chosenness. For Jewish people, this is no mere concept. From generation to generation, we've heard the stories of the patriarchs and Moses, of David and Esther, that there is something special about being part of the people of Israel. But often these ancient tales appear to be nothing more than a backstory for so much rejection and suffering. The result is, at times, a deep-seated ambivalence of the kind expressed by Tevye. If this is what it means to be chosen, then, as he says, once in a while, can't you choose someone else? The story of the Jewish people hasn't changed much in thousands of years. No people group has ever been through the kinds of persecution, exile, and attempted genocides that have haunted us since our earliest days. The ugly specter of anti-Semitism, the Holocaust, and the ongoing threats upon the modern state of Israel have greatly heightened since October the 7th, 2023. A similar spirit possessed Pharaoh, Haman, and Hitler. The agendas of Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome were not all that different from the great powers of the 20th and 21st centuries. Yet, we are still here, and while grateful for our continued place in the world, many of us are confused about our true identity, especially over what it means to be chosen, if we are chosen at all. Many Jewish people, and a lot of Christians, would be surprised to learn that the New Covenant writings, the New Testament, effectively resolves this confusion. Paul, so misunderstood in the Jewish world, and in much of the church for that matter, had a grasp of this issue in a way that Tevye did not. When Paul asks in Romans 3, chapter 1, then what advantage has the Jew, there is no confusion or angst in his answer. But before we look at that, Tevye's response to Paul's question, echoed in the hearts of so many Jews, Christians, and others, is just about none. For many Jewish people, the negatives outweigh whatever positives there may be. And for many Christians, if there had at one time been an advantage, not anymore. According to them, Tevye's prayer has been answered since chosenness has been transferred to a new Israel, namely the church. But that's not Paul's understanding. His answer to what advantage has the Jew is much in every way. He then begins to unpack what that means, starting with the Jewish people's being entrusted with the scriptures. Note, he's not talking about a metaphorical spiritual concept of Israel as some sort of generic people of God, but an actual ethnic group, the Jewish people. He would have more to say about the advantage of being chosen, but first he deals with the implications of the Jewish majority's current spiritual state to demonstrate that any unfaithfulness toward God on their part in no way undermines God's commitment to them. He comes back to listing various benefits of chosenness in chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. They are Israelites, Paul writes, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the Torah, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Messiah, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. I don't have time here to fully delve into Paul's and God's understanding that Israel in Romans chapters 9 to 11 is ethnic Israel, the Jewish people. I address this in my booklet, God Did Not Reject His People, The Identity of Israel in Paul's Letter to the Romans, chapter 11. What I want to discuss here is how the issue of chosenness has been undermined in people's minds through ongoing painful circumstances. Tevye was willing to give up his people's chosenness if it meant no longer facing the trouble that had become all too common in their history. On the one hand, who can blame him? On the other hand, if you know Fiddler on the Roof, you know I sound like Tevye now, coming to such a conclusion must mean he had lost touch with the advantages Paul describes. The Jewish advantage is due to our being chosen by God to be a blessing to the nations. You can see Bereshit, the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3, and Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, and verse 8. The curse under which the whole creation groans was doomed from the moment God pronounced it. You could see Bereshit, Genesis 3, verse 15, and Romans 8, verses 19 through 22. The purpose of choosing the Jewish people was to confront that curse. From the time of Abraham until now, that process has been a painful one. Going against the grain entails suffering. The patriarchs understood that, as did Moses and every faithful follower of the true God ever since. While no one bore the brunt of chosenness to the extent that the Messiah did, it is not as if his suffering lessened its heavy burden. In fact, it opened the door for the nations to experience that which at one time was the exclusive calling of Israel. The Jewish advantage of being set apart to rescue creation from the curse's effects is now shared by all who trust in Yeshua. But that doesn't mean the people of Israel no longer carry that burden. They may be unaware of it, like the fictional Tevye and the genuine sentiment he expresses, yet still, because of God's commitment to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that burden remains. It's a burden for sure, but a great advantage nonetheless. Despite the hardships of which Tevye had become weary, God continues to work out his purposes through the people of Israel. Whether conscious of it or not, God's faithfulness to his word is evidenced by the endurance of the Jewish people and the existence of the modern state of Israel. I wonder how much of the angst and confusion Tevye expressed is due to the church's tendency throughout the centuries to refuse to affirm the Jewish advantage as described by Paul. Robbing the Jewish people of their God-given advantage not only undermines biblical truth, but breaks the bridge of Jewish restoration upon which God so desires to walk. Followers of the Messiah, both Jews and Gentiles, have the responsibility to reflect the unchanging nature of the scriptures to which they claim to adhere, including the place of ethnic Israel in God's salvation plan. Torah Bites is located on the web at www.torahbites.org. Comments may be sent to info@torahbites.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Torah Bites. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman for Torah Bites. Lehitraot.